When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas sitting in for Keyshawn this morning.
My mind is just, Adam Schefter just blew my mind.
Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, Jay, to fill out your brackets for both men's and women's tournament. You can join the KJM Celebrity Group. We're going to have celebrities join us? Oh, where are the celebrities? To play along, filling out brackets with ESPN are my two favorite things, free and easy. The ESPN Tournament Challenge is presented by WebEx. So, guys, you heard the sound on the way in. The big news yesterday was Mitchell Trubisky to the Steelers and Deshaun Watson setting up meetings with multiple NFL teams. But that's so yesterday's news. I mean, this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, weekdays. Last week, we had the whole thing set. Aaron Rodgers made his decision. Here we go, the whole show. Oh, Russell Wilson just traded. And every day it's like that. Today, here's the breaking news. Adam Schefter was with us moments ago on this show and said this about the latest when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
The deal is officially done. It's $150 million for 3 years. I'm looking at the contract, which is one of the things that was going on as we're talking here, as it was texted into me, and it's rather lengthy. That is the deal. It's a three-year, $150 million deal. And from what I understand, it's a case where Aaron took less than what the Packers were willing to pay, obviously because he wants to try to help the team be better. He literally said, that's too much, and gave back some money. That's not a regular thing that you hear. It's kind of a little bit Tom Brady-esque, you know, with the way it was back in New England. But that's what happened here. It is a three-year, $150 million deal, and it is signed.
Are you aware yet? Have you seen yet? Is all the money guaranteed? And is there a mechanism by which he could, like, retire and not have to pay back bonus money? Which
Max, I'd have to look at it, but my understanding is it's a year-to-year proposition with him. And he has the ability to walk away every year after each year.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's what I thought it was going to be. I think Aaron Rodgers wants to do this again next year. and so, you know, here we are.
Again. Here we are again.
If it's structured in a team-friendly way, though, maybe it helps them keep Devontae Adams. I would imagine Rodgers wants to keep Devontae Adams.
I think it gives them a little bit of cap flexibility.
Well, remember Adam Schefter also said in an interview that he gave back money. He didn't want as much money.
Yeah, because he knows and understands, like, if you take the bigger piece of the pie, it's going to diminish a lot of other areas on your football team. And they just signed Devondre Campbell back, which is very, very important. Devontae Adams in the organization, they aren't on the same page right now when it comes to the money that he feels like he deserves and the money that they probably want to pay. But Aaron Rodgers doing his deal like that helps all those cases.
I mean, it's the ultimate leverage for him. Right, because if he has another great year, hey, even if he doesn't have another great year, is this where I want to be? I mean, he will ultimately have that conclusion or try to come to some kind of grips about what his new reality is at the end of each season.
Look, it is difficult to know what goes on in someone else's mind. Sometimes you feel comfortable, though, with some conjecture based on behavior you've seen over time. It seems to me, and I have no way of knowing this for sure, that some part of Aaron Rodgers wants or needs attention around this topic, right? Or else why do you go on your boy's show, right? Why do you go on Pat McAfee's show and string us along from a year ago?
It's just his boy's show. I mean, there might be incentive.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It does seem like Rodgers has quite a deal there. But, like, why do you publicly talk about, I don't know if I'm going to stay, I want, it's criticize the front office, string us along all this time. I predicted whatever was worked out, it would be a situation where Rodgers could get out at the end of every year because I think he wants everyone in that same position next year.
I think what we're witnessing right now is something that athletes have dreamed of to a degree. You ready for this, Max?
Mm-hmm.
You don't control any narratives. For all these years, people have been writing about me, been telling people parts of the story, using parts of other people's sound bites to put together their stories. Now you're seeing me have all the leverage. You're hearing me every week tell you how I see it from my perspective.
100%.
I have the choice to be cryptic or not. I have the choice to omit, you know, reference points or not. And by the way, now even contractually, I've seen the history of what's happened here in Green Bay with Brett Favre. Now guess who controls all the chips? I can be all in if I want, and if you don't treat me right or if I don't see you, very similar to Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, oh, you're not making the right draft selections? Oh, you're not doing the right free agency moves? Oh, you're not listening to me here and there? Okay, great. I'll go somewhere else.
Dan Graziano is reporting. He was on the show earlier. Aaron Rodgers' new deal includes a guaranteed base salary of $59.465 million in 2023, $60 million. Obviously, if he wants to keep playing, that will have to be converted into signing bonus. The size of those numbers means the Packers and Rodgers will keep going year to year, just as I predicted, because it ain't hard to tell. Rodgers likes the attention, and
that's what he wants.
I hear what Jay is saying, Harry, about now the athlete, like, by the way, the Players Tribune, like all the, forget about social media, right? I get it. The stages of journalism, sports journalism in this country, early on, it was a deification of athletes. The athlete was a hero, right? And then an era of journalism came in where a lot of was like, hold on, let's tell real stories. And characters are not interesting if they're invulnerable. They're interesting when you see their strengths and weaknesses. But I can imagine athletes thinking, wait a minute. Yeah, of course I got some flaws like everyone, but 99% of the time I'm giving back in the community. I'm a good person. I have relationships. Why is it that it feels like half the coverage of me is negative? And I understand where that would rub them the wrong way and they want to take control of the narrative. In Rodgers' case too, Harry, I get what Jay is saying. Chris Canty brought this up like a year ago already almost. He saw what happened to Favre, and he's like, however it ends in Green Bay, I'll be the one deciding that, not them.
He had a front row seat. He had a front row seat. And when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he wants to control the narrative. I've been saying this for the longest. He wants to control everything, and everything has to be on his terms. And can I fault him for that? Hey, listen, if you win back-to-back MVPs and four times totally, you have a Super Bowl win, and you're throwing the football around like you're throwing the football around, if you can get that leverage, get it. Mm. I'm not going to sit up here and say, hey, don't do it, because we've seen the turn that basketball has taken. And I'm telling you, this is scary for front office people in the NFL, though. Because this is what they don't want to happen.
Because this is more like basketball.
Yes.
And that's been how the NFL has always, it's always been about the shield. This is about Aaron Rodgers. Like, you know, you can actually make a legit argument about, I mean, who holds more value, Aaron Rodgers or the Packers? How many times have we said that about an individual player and a team and a shield first, like, optic view of the NFL?
I wonder how much of this has to do with Tom Brady. The whole thing. He saw Tom Brady reach a point. Now, he became a free agent. But still, I'm out of here. And he goes, so now think about this for a second. When Matt LaFleur took the ball out of Rodgers' hands at the end of that game and handed it to Tom Brady and Brady won, just imagine if a counterfactual, something that didn't happen but could have. Rodgers plays out of his mind that game, which he did not. But let's say he did, and they win, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. Not that far-fetched. Now Rodgers got two. Brady's sitting on six, but it's all with Belichick, right? Yeah. Now all of a sudden, Rodgers is there going, come on, I beat him head-to-head once he came to my conference. He wasn't in the soft AFC East back then. And now going forward, I win one more. Yeah, I got half of him, but come on, look at what I'm dealing with compared to the situation. That's not what happened. Brady beat him. The coach took the ball out of his hand. Brady's sitting on seven. Then Rodgers takes us through this whole song and dance. Here's me framing the narrative, right? Not the athlete, Jay, but this is how I interpret it. He's this whole song and dance. I'm going to rip. I'm not going to. Oh, where am I going to go? Brady retires meantime. Shocks everyone. Steals Rodgers' thunder. Comes back, right? Once again. Rodgers, in the meantime, last year, when Brady got beat by Stafford, Rodgers didn't even win a playoff game. How much of it, like, I know it sounds a little far-fetched. If you're as good as Aaron Rodgers and you've been playing in the Tom Brady era and you see how he set himself up and how everyone loves him and always pays attention to him, it's got to be, to me, to my mind, Harry, got to be part of the motivation.
Well, it's competition, and that's one of the things that it drives us, but sometimes it could hurt us as athletes, right? You see Tom Brady be in certain positions. Tom Brady's comeback, he stole your thunder. Okay, well, how can I up that? He sees himself competing with Tom Brady.
Yeah, or how can I put myself in a lovely situation like Brady?
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a brand. I mean, he's thinking about it. Well, look, I think they sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. Max, you've made this point about Russell Westbrook and the Los Angeles Lakers multiple times on our show. Hey, you thought they were meant for each other. And you're like, well, maybe Russ isn't meant for L.A. Well, not everybody's meant to be in front of the camera or have everything parsed from what they say, like Aaron Rodgers. So it's more like Aaron Rodgers, like, okay, like, this is what I want my reality to be. I would also say what comes along with that, though, is a whole bunch of people in your business 24/7 trying to put together the pieces that may not be your own truth.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers deal is done. We had Adam Schefter on this show in the previous segment. Adam Schefter told us that it is a year-to-year deal. Dan Graziano, some further reporting, the amount of money in the deal and bonus and et cetera means the way it's structured, it will go year-to-year. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, we got to get back to March Madness.
Most of us get a certain number of opportunities. Some of us get more than others. The best opportunities are the opportunities that are backed up with belief. It's not just about opportunity, man. It's about someone believing in you.
The madness has hit its peak.
We're going to be ready. You be ready. And let's see what happens. Let's see what the hell happens.
Bruce Pearl, Auburn head coach, joins us now on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Morning, coach.
Good morning. How are you guys?
What's up, BP? How you doing, big man?
All good, Jay. What's going on?
I'm doing great. Hey, how would you describe Jabari Smith in two words?
Fearless and competitive. He's not afraid. He wants the ball. If he can see it, he can make it. He cares about winning more than anything else, and so he has poured himself into his teammates and try to bring those guys along and give them confidence and he's got big goals. So I think he's just fearless and he's one of the most competitive players I've ever been around.
Bruce, who would you say his NBA comp is? I mean, obviously a lot of guys due to his size and his frame, his dexterity and his versatility is pretty off the charts.
Yeah, it's KD. I mean, it is because when that ball gets put above his head and it is shot, he's 7-something, and it's a really hard contest. And I think the competitor in him also, the discipline and the training, the routine. I know you asked the question, so I gave you the answer. I mean, people not saying that's who he is. But that's the closest comparison based on the size, the frame of his body, and just the pureness of his stroke.
Coach, how do you feel about the Midwest region that the Auburn Tigers are in as a 2 seed?
Well, what you do is you look at it 1 weekend at a time. And I honestly couldn't tell you who all is in our region. I know Kansas is the one. Wisconsin's in there. But all I can see is Jacksonville State, USC, and Miami. Hmm. And those are the three teams that we've got to beat, two of those three teams, to get to the Sweet 16. And then on the other side of the bracket, there are some really good teams. I couldn't even tell you how the bracket sizes up against the other brackets. I just, focused on this. And I know if we can win the weekend, then we do survive and we advance.
Bruce, what have you learned about your team? Obviously, you guys have been through, some ups and downs, but what do you think the biggest takeaway from your team is thus far that you've learned about them?
Jay, we were from – I talked to the team about this today, yesterday. From November, I think, 25th, all the way up into February, 6th, we hadn't lost a basketball game. We won 19 games in a row. Mm-hmm. And in that time, we beat 2-seed Kentucky We beat like 3-6 seeds. And, you know, we were playing really well. And then we lost our first game on the road at Arkansas. Tough place to play. Had a chance, had the ball with a chance to win it in regulation. And so we were playing our best basketball during the middle of the season. We've not been playing our best basketball right down here, down the stretch. Our guys know that. We haven't shot it as well. You know, scouting, you know, defenses, they taking away the primary things like we do. But we could defend. We get back to defending and rebounding and creating some offense from our defense. And then doing a little bit better job of making some open shots. And we got a chance to do well in this tournament.
Coach, March Madness, there's always going to be one or two players on each team that has to step up and make plays unexpectedly. If you had to choose one or two guys that you're expecting to do just that, who are those one or two guys?
You know, I would say our point guards. Wendell Green and Zeb Jasper. I think those guys are both capable. They were mid-major transfers, guys from Eastern Kentucky out of the OVC, and actually they were the Atlantic Sun, and then Zeb Jasper from the College of Charleston. And, you know, that we didn't have to beat a ton of high major Power 5 teams to get those guys. We beat some good schools to get them, and those guys have proven all year they belong. And for us to get to the Final Four, they'll have an opportunity to do that again.
Auburn head coach, two-time SEC Coach of the Year, Bruce Pearl, joining us here. The number two seed in the Midwest region for the Auburn Tigers on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. BP, Frank Martin spent 10 seasons with South Carolina. I know you've known of him for a very long time. What do you just think about Frank Martin in general? And, you know, obviously getting let go at the University of South Carolina is a tough one.
Jay, there have been six openings in the SEC this season. There's only 14 schools. And, you know, we understand this is the business we've chosen. I got that from The Godfather. And we know how tough it is. We understand the risk reward. None of us got into coaching because we thought we were going to make a ton of money. We all got into coaching because we want to be around kids. We all started in high school or junior college or assistant, grad assistants. Everybody started at the bottom and didn't make any money for 20 years. And then, you know, got good at it and got a chance to, you know, do something at the highest level. But, we've had some Frank Martin. I mean, Ben Howland. You're talking about, you know, Tom Crean. You're talking about, these are veterans. These are guys that have, you know, been the Final Four. How about that? I just named three guys.
Exactly.
But it didn't happen. Just three guys that have been in the Final Four and are veterans and are great coaches and great men. And so, yeah, I think Frank probably is very, very surprising. I mean, he took South Carolina in the Final Four, 4 years ago?
Yep.
He'll coach again. And whoever gets him, whatever university and community gets Frank Martin, we'll be glad they did. Because he's going to affect the basketball program. He's going to affect the campus. And he's going to affect the community. I don't know. I just think you be careful what you wish for. I was at Tennessee when they fired Philip Fulmer. How'd that work out?
That's big.
How'd that work out?
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Coach.
Well, they used to make fun of Philip because all he ever did was win nine games and got to the Outback Bowl. That wasn't good enough.
Coach Bruce Pearl, Auburn head coach with us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today. Coach, you talked about Jabari. What about Walker Kessler and what he's meant to the team this year?
Good.
I'll tell you what, Max. And you guys, like, there's no player in college basketball that has gone farther from his freshman year to his sophomore year than Walker Kessler. And a lot of it just had to do, you know, with the opportunity. I get an opportunity to say this because you guys have got such a great audience and such a great listening audience. Walker Kessler loved North Carolina. He loved Roy Williams. He still does to this day. It broke his heart having gone through a COVID year and having been on a team with a very deep front line where he just wasn't getting much of an opportunity, and then recognized that he just missed home and that maybe the way we play at Auburn wasn't better than the way they play at North Carolina. It was just different. And Jay knows what I'm talking about. He knows the North Carolina system. He knows they're going to play two bigs, and they're going to play high-low, and they're not going to play five out and spread, and their centers aren't going to be shooting the basketball as much. You know, they are so a little bit more now as the game's changed, but Walker made that. That was the toughest decision he ever had to make in his life. And it's worked out really, really well. Max, in the air, he's the best player in college basketball. Offensively, you throw it up there, he can get it. He can finish it. He's got great timing at good camp. Those are not easy plays. And the same thing protecting the rim on the defensive end. And, you know, he runs. He could shoot the basketball. His percentages aren't great. But one of the things you have to do before you become a great shooter is you got to take shots. You got to shoot him in the game. And I'm telling you, at some point, he is going to be a 7-1, three-point shooting nightmare in the NBA. Mm.
Already defensively a game-changing kind of guy. That is Bruce Pearl, ladies and gentlemen. Auburn head coach. Best of luck in the tournament, coach.
Good luck to you, BP. Go get it done, baby.
Yes, sir. It's that time of the year. Appreciate you guys.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The Kansas Jayhawks have owned the Big 12 Conference. They have owned the Big 12 Tournament. 12 tournament titles for Kansas.
Very confident group. They play with a swag. That starts with Abaji and Brown. McCormick's veteran presence.
We know what we needed to do coming into this game, and we just executed as a team. When everybody's at full health and we know what we need to do on lock-in, nobody can stop us.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas in for Key today. We have Bill Self, Kansas head coach, for you live right now. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, man. How are you guys?
What's up, Bill? How you doing, big man?
Hey, Jay, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We miss you out here. You going to ever come back?
Well, that's okay. I was just about to ask you. I promise you that this summer, if you do the fantasy camp, I will be your MC. I will come back for it. By the way, one of my favorite times I've ever had with any fantasy camp. I'll just set the bar high for you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So you're always welcome. We'll find a spot for you out here, I guess.
I appreciate it, man. First, what are your thoughts on this season? How has it been for you thus far, and how are you guys getting prepared for the number one seed in the Midwest region?
Well, we've had a great year. It hasn't always been pretty. We've had some down moments and been exposed multiple times, and our league is so good, as you guys know, that can happen to just about anybody, and we've been humbled. But right now we've played pretty well of late. We had to win two tough games to get a piece of the conference championship regular season. Then we went to Kansas City and played pretty well, and I think we're on an uptick now, and being a one seed is nice. And as you know, because you were one a couple of times, I believe, that lasts for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then it's just about playing and matchups. But we're excited to be where we're at and looking forward to it.
Coach, I want to ask you about the growth of Oche Obaji's game. What factors played in his growth this season?
Well, Ochai, he's always been a good player. He wasn't highly recruited per se. And And we tried to redshirt him his freshman year and need to bring him out to kind of give us a little energy. And I'm glad we did. He ended up kind of helped salvaging his freshman season, our season that year. And was better as a sophomore and was better as a junior, but still probably not an elite prospect yet. Probably still not a pro yet. He went and worked out with a group out in Phoenix this summer after he declared or last spring. And they added, convinced him of an element that his brain and his body could go to from a work ethic standpoint that maybe he didn't know he could get to. And that's been the biggest difference. He deserves the credit. He's quickened his release. He's shooting it more consistently. But the biggest thing with him is that he's got kind of an assassin type mentality. Would before he would maybe defer a little bit. And that's been the biggest thing. It's a mental thing with him. I've been around a lot of good ones when we've had a couple of national player of the years and that stuff. But work ethic, I've never had anybody that works any harder than this guy.
Coach, what kind of tournament are you expecting from guy Remy Martin, who transferred from Arizona State?
Well, you know, Remy's been hurt, so he hasn't been whole for at least 2 months. We even set him for about a month where he didn't do anything. And now he's coming back at the most important time. It's the first time this past weekend I think he was healthy in the Big 12 tournament and was a key player for us over there and played really well. So I see him being a guy. We're still going to start the same guys, but I see him being giving us some firepower off the bench, some personality, some energy that can change games. And we're hopeful that's the case with him because he can do some things, especially offensively, that you can run bad offense and still come away with points. And we need somebody like that out there.
Coach, you touched on it in passing, but what does experience mean this time of year for your team? You have a very experienced team.
Well, we are older. You know, we probably most of the kids were part of that team in 20 that got COVID canceled the season, and we were going to be, you know, maybe a favorite that year to win it. We were the number one team in the country when that happened, and last year, you know, COVID got us again, you know, but it hit us health wise. We had two starters get it going into the tournament, so I think one thing, experience is important, but I also think there's a hunger to this team because we haven't had a chance to really experience some of the things that other teams have just because of circumstances. And so, you know, it's nice to play old this time. I honestly believe talent trumps experience, but experienced talents gives you the best chance to win big, and I think we do have that.
What do you think about having Coach to play Baylor for the third time this season if you both make it to the Final Four?
I would love to. That would be awesome. that means we would have won, what would that be? We would have won four games to do that. So, you know, I get a kick out of these brackets because it always happens this way, and fans get ahead of themselves and all this stuff. You know, it's a two-game tournament right now, and we got to go play well in Fort Worth and win two games, and then it becomes another two-game tournament, in my opinion. And no matter what, you're gonna play good people. But if our league could have two teams being represented in the Final Four, that would be great for everyone, and we love the opportunity to play Baylor again, just like they would us.
Coach just answered my penetrating question. Coach, how would you like to at least be in the Final Four this year? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, I got
Bill
to the bottom
Self
of that
like
one.
To be in the Final Four.
Bill Self, and I got to the bottom of that one. Yes.
You know, our sport's different because, you know, it's promoted as road to the Final Four. It's not promoted road to the national championship. I mean, even though that's the goal, the letdown of not making to the Final Four is huge, and losing that Elite Eight game is the hardest game of the tournament to lose, and I've lost, I believe, seven of them. So that's the hardest game in the tournament to lose. So the thing about it is getting to the Final Four is the reward that makes a great season special.
Bill,
and then the opportunity to put a cherry on top is what makes it unreal.
Real quick, because we're up against it, and obviously my mic was cut off from talking to you last time. Is this the best shot you guys think you have a chance to win it since 2008?
No, it's not. But it's we're in the game. You know, we've had some good teams. This would have been our 10th number one seed in the last 16 years. If we would have played in 20. So we've had a lot of good teams, but this team going into the tournament and from a confidence standpoint, I do think that we're in the game. I really do. And of course all one seeds should be in the game, but I feel good about this team. And there's been years where I maybe felt a little bit more confident because maybe we could roll out two lottery picks in the group. We're not going to do that this year, but we got a group of guys that really like each other and play well together. So I do like our chances, though, Jake.
Awesome. I love that. Not just the experience, the hunger. The hunger. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Bill Self, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, man. Have a good day.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
He started 50 games in the NFL. He's completed 64% of his passes. He started two playoff games. And if he was in this year's draft, in my opinion, he'd be the first quarterback drafted.
The black and gold is just like legendary colors, historical franchise for the NFL.
People may not like it because of how statistically maybe he didn't live up to his number two overall draft
pick. I'm a guy that thinks Mitchell Trubisky is talented enough to have a chance to be a good starter in the NFL.
So, guys, Mitchell Trubisky is going to Pittsburgh because he valued winning, Pittsburgh over New York, and starting. Mason Rudolph not as good as Daniel Jones, right? In New York, Trubisky would have had to compete with Daniel Jones. And it got us to thinking, who has more upside, Trubisky or Daniel Jones? Harry Douglas, in for Keyshawn Johnson today.
I'm gonna go with Daniel Jones. And one of the main factors in this is that I love the fact that Daniel Jones is going to have Brian Daboll as his coach, bringing him along the way. More so than I like Matt Canada being with Mitchell Trubisky. And I'll be honest with you, Jay. I just don't like the Mitchell Trubisky being in Pittsburgh when that offensive line isn't shored up. Daniel Jones, I've seen what he can be. Now, he's had some lows, but I've seen his highs as well.
Yeah.
Now, the key thing for Daniel Jones is that those wide receivers have to stay healthy. You can't be having Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay not scoring touchdowns for this team or not being available. That hurt this team last year, and that can't happen this year.
Well, Kenny Golladay actually needs to be targeted more. That's a whole other conversation. You talk about Pittsburgh's O-line not being a sure thing. Make the same case for the Giants' O-line. Max and I have been talking about this for a long time, Max, every year. We'll see what they do in the draft as it relates to drafting O-linemen. There's still a part of me that when I look at Pittsburgh, all right, we got a guy like Mitchell Trubisky on a cheaper deal. You know, he can patch together work. That's how I look at Mitchell Trubisky, right?
Yeah.
He's a bridge gap type of quarterback. Whereas I still see Daniel Jones, he's cut down his turnovers over the year. You see what his legs can do. You see what his arm strength is. You talk about the health of the wideouts, the receiving core. You just need it all to click for Daniel Jones, but you feel like the ceiling is higher for him more so than Mitchell.
I think Daniel Jones' ceiling is higher. I think Mitch Trubisky's floor is higher. Like, I've seen Mitchell Trubisky guide two teams. Did he guide them or did whatever? They made the playoffs with no offensive line but a good defense, and Mitchell Trubisky twice, right? His floor to me is higher. But
well, the floor for the Steelers is higher,
too. The floor for the Steelers is higher, too, no doubt. The ceiling, Daniel Jones could throw it down the field in a way that Mitchell Trubisky cannot. And when you look at quarterbacks, that's what you're looking for. And he's got that. He can spin it. Daniel Jones can spin it.
The ceiling is the roof, as Michael Jordan once
said. The roof is on fire.
Towns again with pump fakes, out of rhythm here. Now he will fire on the three and hits it. 60 for Carl Anthony Towns. 95 seconds left to go in the game. Cats got 60. A new career high, a new franchise record.
Every day at this time, we give you a chance to produce our show. Choose your own adventure segment. The options today, Lakers first quarter. What are we going to talk about in this block? Lakers first quarter. Josh Donaldson, former MVP who got into it. You know, he pointed out Gerrit Cole was using the sticky stuff on the ball. They're teammates now for the Yankees. Battle of MVP contenders. MB put up 30 for the 31st consecutive game, 30-30+. And Jokic's team won, coming back from down big on Philadelphia, at Philadelphia, or Karl Anthony Towns, 60 points. The results are close. Lakers got almost 20%. Donaldson Cole got over 20%. Battle of MVP contenders got almost 26%. Karl Anthony Towns almost 34% wins. Here was Karl Anthony Towns last night on dropping 60.
It was crazy. You know, it brings back memories again, the 56, you know, just two totally different vibes when I got it, you know. I've said it before, I appreciate these guys so much because I ain't never been celebrated, you know, I don't know how that feels, you know. So to have kind of people do that when I got 60 was a crazy feeling, you know. I remember getting 56, it was kind of just like, it was treated like it was another day. I appreciate that. They make these moments special. I wish I could give y'all more energy, but I'm tired as hell. So...
I just love the maturation of Carl. I've known Carl since he's been 16 years old. He went to the same high school as I went to. I watched him throughout his tenure in Kentucky when they lost in the national championship to Wisconsin. They were trying to complete the undefeated season, first one since, you know, in IU has done it since the early 80s. And he's always been a very special talent. But I remind people, I think 2 years ago, you know, a year and a half ago, he lost his mom, Jackie, and he lost – a multitude of other family members due to COVID. And I think there was a transformation process that he went through because he went through a lot of pain. And the one thing that you always felt like Cat was missing on the court was that sense of urgency, that intensity, each and every possession. Harry and I were joking around like, you know, where's that dog? And I think you started to see that dog more so now than you have a lot more before in the past. And I give a lot of that credit to also having a guy like Anthony Edwards on this team, yo. Let me be real, like, you have to be surrounded by dogs to want to be hungry
Say it again, Jay. Say it again.
Like, you have to have people around you like, nah, like, that's not good enough. Like, let's keep going. Let's keep setting a different bar.
And more I think like that's a kangaroo than a dog. He could jump out the gym, that dude. Yeah, Anthony Edwards.
But if you pay attention to stuff that Anthony Edwards talks about, like, he doesn't care.
No doubt.
He doesn't care who you are.
No doubt.
He doesn't care what accolade. He's coming at you. That's why this team is in their position right now to make the playoffs.
Yep.
The Lakers are not in a position to make the playoffs. The Timberwolves are in position to make the playoffs as a 7th or 8th seed.
My man, if you have multiple number one draft picks overall that have panned out, you better be in a position to make some noise. You know, they do. Well, Cat was the number one draft pick clearly the year he came out, and Anthony Edwards.
And I'll say this about Cat. And Jay, when you're talking about that dog, when you talk about an Embiid or Nikola Jokic, those two guys, you know, at some point, if you play with them the wrong way, they'll slap the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got to have that. When you're big in this league and you don't want people to play with you, you got to kind of be like that way. You can't be laughy, go jokey all the time and kiki and ha-ha. You got to have that edge to you, man. That's one of the main ways you'll get respect in this league. That's one of the reasons I always respect KG, because people knew when it came to KG.
Oh, my God, is he so intense.
That dog was coming all day, every day. And he was going to say whatever he wanted to say to you and dared you to do something about it.
I'm looking at the 6'11-plus guys in the NBA right now. KD, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns, AD. Karl Anthony Towns' talent's right there. He's like the
Right there with what?
With anyone. Given his size and shooting ability. And he has
his talent's not there with KD.
Talent or skill?
Both.
Right. No. Right. KD is a different category.
KD,
KD is a different category.
I'm not putting him in that category.
Fine. He's a different
category. I'm not even putting him in that category with Joel Embiid or Jokic yet.
Talent or skill? Again, skill meaning acquired knowledge of how to play and muscle memory versus your just capability of doing it if you applied yourself, because that's what I'm talking about.
He's not in that conversation. All those are guys who have either won an MVP or are in the MVP conversation.
But the point I'm trying to make, maybe you disagree with the point, is when you talk about dog and mentality and this and that, to me, that's actually what separated them so far. Not talent, unless you consider that a talent, but the tenacity to acquire the kind of skill and perseverance to apply yourself to acquire the kind of skill and apply it in games that someone like Embiid has, right? Because to me, talent-wise, even ever since he came out, Karl Anthony Towns was kind of the guy you wanted talent-wise. Given everything he's capable of doing, he should be the prototypical great modern center, right? But it's interesting to me how he drops after, you know, when I drop 56, like he's reminding everyone, yo, y'all act like I can't do this. I dropped 56 points in a game before.
Well, because you dropped 60 in the win.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But I'll tell you, though, that's
different.
That mentality, we've seen Kevin Durant going against an Embiid and getting his face like that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Then there's the breaking news this morning when Adam Schefter said this about Aaron Rodgers on KJM, this program, about an hour ago.
The deal is officially done. It's $150 million for 3 years. I'm looking at the contract, which is one of the things that was going on as we're talking here, as it was texted into me, and it's rather lengthy. That is the deal. It's a three-year, $150 million deal. And from what I understand, it's a case where Aaron took less than what the Packers were willing to pay, obviously because he wants to try to help the team be better. He literally said, that's too much, and gave back some money. That's not a regular thing that you hear. It's kind of a little bit Tom Brady-esque, you know, with the way it was back in New England. But that's what happened here. It is a three-year, $150 million deal, and it is signed.
Are you aware yet? Have you seen yet? Is all the money guaranteed? And is there a mechanism by which he could, like, retire and not have to pay back bonus money?
I'd have to look at it, but my understanding is it's a year-to-year proposition with him. And he has the ability to walk away every year after each year.
Yeah, didn't Adam sound annoyed with me when I asked that question? It was a relevant question. We got good information.
I'm trying to look through the contract right now.
Leave me alone.
I even said ahead of time, I know that you're getting new. Like, we had him on this just in the other day, and he had to take, his phone was ringing literally on the spot. I was like, Adam, take that. Get back to us. You know, like, but
don't take that tone with me.
I will tell you what. According to the calculations of this show, it's really a $120 million extension.
Oof, over 2 years.
So right? Basically, if you look, you can look at it that way. So 2 years, 120 is $60 million a year in new money, basically. That's pretty good. I didn't major in math, but that sounds like a lot to me.
They counted last year. Is that why it's 2 years?
Money,
yeah,
money,
right. No, because he had a year left, right? And now he has 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
So it's really kind. You can look at it as 2 year extension at $60 million a year, basically,
money, money, money,
and going year to year.
Year to year.
I mean, they can maybe better afford Davante Adams.
My damn son gonna be a quarterback, man.
Keyshawn J. Will and Max is back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Eastern. Greeny is coming up right now. He is reacting, of course, to the Rodgers breaking news.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.